You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. I am Alan Martindale, and our guest today is Jared Lloyd. You know him from the Daily Herald. He's also on Twitter, at Jared R. Lloyd, as well as CougarBlue.com and Blue Cougar, BYU Cougar Blue on Facebook. You are busy, man. Wow.
Well, there's always something to do, and that's the fun part of this time of year. Football, basketball, volleyball, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, I know you're a very, very busy man, so I cannot thank you enough for taking some time to sit down and talk a little BYU basketball. You know, football, the regular season just got over. Time to transition into the hardwood. First of all, you know, I'd like to get your initial take. I know it's been a young season so far, but just your initial take on the Cougars and what we can expect this season.
You know, I think that there's still a lot of question marks with this particular team, and that's kind of what we've seen. You know, I think that we've seen some inconsistencies, and that's to be expected with the number of, freshmen that BYU's playing. You know, the depth, a lot of the depth is guys that haven't played for BYU, and so that's going to be, you know, a factor in how quickly those come along and where they're at. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of potential for this team, and when they shoot the basketball and when they rebound, I think they're very, very good. Those are the two areas that I think that, you know, we've seen them be a little bit hot and cold. And maybe I should add, you know, a couple other things in the sense that, you know, obviously taking care of the basketball and hitting your free throws, those are two other areas that this team needs to get better. But I think they've got a lot of upside, and I think we're going to learn a lot about them here in December before they get to league play.
You know, you mentioned the depth, and certainly coming off the bench, that is a question mark. But, man, these starters are incredible. And you look at the stats, and if you didn't know anything about this team and you were just looking at the stats, you wouldn't know that there's a star player on this team. All five starters are averaging double figures. Maybe you can talk about how a team can even prepare for, you know, a BYU team that spreads the ball so well.
Well, and, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, opponents have to be aware of. I think the big thing that Belmont tried to do a lot was let guys take some shots because BYU's shown an impatience with the basketball. And so, you know, if they're hitting, that's a recipe that, you know, that BYU is going to be able to overcome that, you know, that type of approach. But, you know, they've been hot and cold so far this year. So, you know, I mean, you just don't know exactly who's going to be on, who's not going to be on. You know, BYU does need to make sure that they take the time to get the ball in the post and get those guys some touches, because that'll open everything else out. And inside-out basketball is a lot easier when you're a shooter than when you're trying to shoot off the dribble or off a perimeter pass. So I really think that, you know, that's the – I think if I'm an opponent, you try and pack it in, try and force BYU into bad shots and hope they miss. If they start making, you're in trouble probably, and that's where the, you know, the versatility comes into play.
You know, and speaking of versatility, obviously Kyle Collinsworth is such a leader on this team, but maybe you can tell me a little bit how much of a help the emergence of Nick Emery has been for him, and how much easier does that make it for Collinsworth?
Well, BYU needed someone else to step up and, you know, take some of the scoring load, take some of the ball handling load. And Nick Emery, he's mature for a freshman, but we've seen times where he gets a little bit out of control, but there's no doubt he's very, very talented. So,
yeah,
I think that he's been a very key component so far. He's got the capability to, you know, to really excel in this offense because he can shoot the ball. He's got the ability to get to the basket. He's deceptively quick. And I actually think his defense is decent for being a freshman. If it continues to improve, you know, I think that he's a real weapon at both sides of the floor.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he is right on the verge of leading the team in scoring, you know, and for a freshman, a lot of maturity left, you know, and he can learn a lot still, but from a freshman, that's just such a big lift for sure. Okay, so, you know, the Cougars so far, and again, it's a very young season so far up to this point, but they're playing extremely well at home. Now, they had that one stumble against Long Beach State on the road. Is that worrisome going forward about, you know, maybe it could be indicative of what they can expect to see on the road?
Well, I think there is that concern until they go out and prove differently. And again, the thing that's very interesting about that particular game is the fact that, you know, they were 8 of 21 from the foul line, and they turned the ball over 21 times or 24 times, and they lost by 1 point. You know, so they were there. They actually didn't play terrible in the sense of defensively. You know, their shooting percentage wasn't bad, their rebounding wasn't bad, but you know, they put themselves in a big hole. I just think that, you know, there's not enough of a sample size to really know what BYU is going to do on the road. But this upcoming, you know, the game against Utah will tell a lot more about that. You know, they've got a neutral site game at Energy Solutions against Weber State. Now, you got some chances. There's a game against Colorado, you know, a Colorado team that's not a bad team. There's some chances for BYU to kind of show where they're going to be at. But, yeah, their first road trip was uninspiring. Now we'll see what they do on their next one.
Definitely some tough tests coming up. Definitely in-state tough tests. And we'll get to that Utah-BYU game in a minute. But real quick, I want to talk a little bit about the West Coast Conference. And specifically about, you know, the team that's been the thorn in BYU's side, which is Gonzaga. What can they do to get that monkey off their back and overtake Gonzaga this year?
It's not going to be easy. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Mark Few is a very, very good coach. He brings in really, really good players. And that front line of theirs is really, really good. I think that Gonzaga's weaknesses have yet to be, I'm not sold on their guard play being as good as it was last year. And it's interesting to me because, you know, I think that BYU's interior presence has improved, but I think their guard play with Collinsworth and Emery could give Gonzaga problems. And remember, BYU did go on the road and beat Gonzaga. If they'd been able to win some of the other winnable games, you know, they would have been right there with the, you know, with Gonzaga as far as at the top of the league, but they weren't able to do that. And so, you know, it's not going to be easy. I really like the guys that, that Gonzaga has. I think they're a really talented team, but that's what you really want if you're a BYU fan, if you're, you know, because BYU needs those types of tests to get better, and that's the type of thing that they need. And so it'll be fun when those two teams face each other. But those post guys for BYU better be ready, because Gonzaga's got a lot of talent down low.
And certainly, you know, when we're talking about the conference, it's typically, since BYU has entered the conference, it's been kind of that three-headed monster with St. Mary's and BYU and Gonzaga. Are there any other teams that might surprise some people in the West Coast Conference?
You know, I think that there's a number of teams that have potential, but you know, I kind of want to wait and see exactly who emerges. It's so early in the season that I think that, you know, there's some opportunities for teams to be better than expected. And I think of a team like the Pacific, you know, and you know, those types of teams that they can emerge, but you know, we'll learn a lot in December, and when we get toward league play, I think we'll have a much better idea of who's going to challenge the BYUs and Gonzagas, you know, as far as being near the top of the West Coast Conference.
Now let's transition a little bit into this game coming up, which will be tomorrow night, Utah and BYU. Does this game, at least in your mind and maybe in the minds of the fans, does this game take on more importance since there's been no football rivalry game for a couple years?
I think it does a little bit, but, you know, I don't think it needed much more other than just what it is. Because, you know, BYU and Utah have been playing good basketball against each other for longer than they've been playing good football. I mean, Utah dominated that rivalry for so long, but BYU and Utah's basketball teams have been very competitive with each other for most of the history of the sport. And so I don't know if it needed much more. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really like the team that Utah has. I think their guard play is a little bit suspect, but again, I like their post players, just like with Gonzaga. And so I think it's a real test for BYU in that sense. But, you know, I think there'll be plenty of energy from both sides. It comes down to which team can handle it and, you know, which team is able to, you know, kind of get the momentum and keep it.
It's hard to hype this game up anymore because, like you said, you know, it's a rivalry game and these two teams know each other very well. So, yeah, I agree. It's going to be hard to even hype it up even more than it already is. You know, these are two totally different teams, obviously, coming into this. BYU is running the typical Dave Rose type of style basketball where, you know, they like to score a lot, they like to run a lot, and Utah is, you know, pretty sound defensively, struggles in the offense at times. Let's start off on the BYU side. What do the Cougars need to do to break that Utah defense?
Well, I think that BYU needs, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. I think BYU needs to be somewhat patient. I think that they need to get the interior guys involved, make Utah's post defense work. and then get the balls to the shooter. You know, if BYU is just going to sit around and launch three-pointers, they better be hitting a really high percentage, because that's what Utah's going to want them to do. And they'll be better off if they're able to run their offense, get the ball inside, get Corbin Cafusi involved, get Kyle Davis involved. And, you know, if they're able to do that, then I think that, you know, BYU's offense is going to be, you know, have a chance against a very good – I think that Utah's defense is stout. I think they play pretty good defense overall. But they have shown some cracks. You know, I think of the Miami loss that Utah had. And so there's some things there, but it's not easy to do.
And looking at the other side of it, what does Utah need to do to slow – I mean, you kind of addressed it before, you know, with the three-point shooting. But what does Utah need to do to slow down the Cougars?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of it is going to be the sense of, you know, getting out in the passing lanes. BYU's shown a propensity to turn the ball over. And so if Utah's able to get in the passing lanes and get some turnovers, BYU might start forcing things, and that can turn into a snowball effect. I really think that that's going to be, you know, I think Utah's going to be very aggressive defensively and really try and make BYU work for everything. And BYU's got to be ready for that. They've got to be smart with the basketball and not get out of control. Because if they do, you know, Utah's going to get a lot of easy buckets at the other end, and that's something they've been successful at.
Do you have a preferred playing style? If you were to look at these two teams, would you take one style over the other?
Well, you know, each of them have their own positive things. I mean, I think that BYU's style is more entertaining, which is why a lot of the rules for the game have been to speed up the game, you know, shortening the shot clock, some of the foul calls, you know, trying to get more points being scored because it's more entertaining that way. But you've got to be able to play defense, and that's what Utah does really well. You know, you've got to be able to turn to your defense if your shots aren't going. And I don't know if BYU can do that yet, but I know Utah can. So it's one of those things where there's pluses and minuses. I think personally the higher scoring, higher tempo game is more entertaining to watch, but it's not necessarily more effective. It just depends on, you know, the type of team you have and what they're able to put together.
Yeah, I got to agree. You know, sometimes when I'm watching college basketball, it's hard to watch at times because a lot of bad shots going up, kind of some sloppy, ugly play. So to see BYU run it, and when they run it efficiently, it's a lot more fun to watch for sure. I do like watching their up-tempo, and personally, I would have to go with BYU for just style alone. And plus, coaching-wise, I think Dave Rose is just such an amazing talent. I'm going to ask you to put on your coach's hat one more time. If you were Dave Rose, how would you handle Jakob Poeltl? Would you, you know, there's a couple different philosophies. Would you let him get his points and try and stop everybody else? Or maybe would you throw a double team on him and try to shut him down? How would you handle that?
I think you've got to double team him. You've got to make him work. And I think, you know, the thing about this Utah team is they're a different team when Jakob's not on the floor. When Poeltl's not out there, they've not been as effective. They've got some other guys that can play really well, but I just don't think that they're the same team without it. So you've really got to make him work. You've got to get the ball out of his hands. You've got to try and, you know, see if you can get him to get an offensive foul. If he gets in foul trouble and you know, has to be a little bit more, you know, a little more cautious, a little more hesitant, that really benefits you. So I think that, I think you double him. I think you're very aggressive in the passing lanes. Try and make him make mistakes or confuse him with where to go with the ball. But he's very good, you know, so that's the challenge. But, you know, I think that BYU's got to, you know, keep their bigs out of foul trouble, or Poeltl's just going to, you know, go for 30 and BYU's going to be in trouble.
Do you think the matchup of the big men is probably the key matchup for the game, or is there another position that you're more interested in?
I think you've got to point to that as the key matchup. I think the guard position is very important. I think that Utah's got to figure out how to slow Collinsworth and, you know, how to make sure that they get the ball where they want to get the ball. But the game's going to be decided inside rebounding, who's able to get the most points, most production from the interior game. That's where I think the game's going to be decided.
How does Dave Rose handle this rivalry game, or any rivalry game?
Well, you know, a lot of coaches, and this is kind of the approach that Bronco Mendenhall has talked about, you know, they try and treat it like another game. There's two different approaches that people take. Some take, hey, we really got to get up and play harder for this game. I really feel like Krystowiak and Dave Rose are much more of the type of, hey, this is the next opponent. We got to keep our emotions in check. We got to try and make sure we're disciplined and, you know, not just try and go in with a lot of energy, because that can lead to a lot of mistakes. So I think you try and treat it like another game. You recognize the talents of the other team. You recognize that there's going to be some emotion there, and you try and make sure you gauge where your guys are at and that they don't get too carried away. And if they do, you got to settle them down. Sometimes you need a timeout. Sometimes you got to, you know, you got to sit a guy who's getting out of control and bring in a backup just to try and settle them down, because you just can't let it get away from you.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you to give us a prediction here. You know, tough rivalry game on the road. Who do you think is going to come out on top?
You know, if it was at BYU, I think I'd probably lean a little bit more toward BYU. But just BYU has been so inconsistent so far, up and down with their performance. I just don't know if they can be consistent enough for 40 minutes to beat Utah at the Huntsman Center. So I think Utah is probably going to get a close win, you know, kind of like last year. I expect it to be a good game going down the stretch, come down to who makes the plays at the end. But, you know, I think that Utah's probably got just a little bit of an edge. And, I think that's what's going to be the difference in the game.
Well, Jared, thank you so much. You know, you give us so much insight. I cannot thank you enough for your time. Like I said, you are crazy busy. So you've been very generous, and I appreciate your time.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. That's Jared Lloyd from the Daily Herald. You can also follow him on Twitter at Jared R. Lloyd, as well as he writes at CougarBlue.com and also on Facebook for BYU Cougar Blue. Definitely check him out. That's going to do it for this episode of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Check out all of our great interviews with great insight for the Cougars, Utes, Aggies, and Jazz at TornbySports.com. For the boss man, Grant Bagme, I am Alan Martindale. Thanks for joining us.
This has been a Torn by Sports production.